And today's going to be a little bit different because let me tell you how this came together today. On Wednesday, I was watching as we were worshiping on our CL Good Morning, and Pastor David and Pastor Sam were there, and they were just flowing by the Spirit of God and our worship team. And all of a sudden, Pastor Sam just literally had this revelation that came to him that God was beginning to move to him. That's the reason I love the CL Good Mornings, is because the flow of the Spirit of God and people that are here just picking up what God is saying, our worship team picking up, and we're just going to continue to move forward with this. But Pastor Sam and Pastor David both had some incredible revelation that God had given them. And especially I knew that as we were coming into this service, that it's something, and what we're facing in our world today, it's just something that needs to be said again. It didn't need just to be said on Wednesday morning, but it needed to be said again. That's the reason we have the Bible reading over and over and over and over again. The same words, the same message, but fresh revelation that comes. So today I actually joined with a very distinguished panel. I'm very honored to have them with me today. And that is Pastor Sam. Y'all might not recognize him now. He was up. He had an incredible home cut. And so looking good here. And then Pastor Cam, who is our youngest son. He and Michaela and Benji are back from Nicaragua, praise the Lord, and now on staff here, of course. And then we have Pastor David Mosier, who is over our school of ministry. It's really, really neat. Also, Pastor David was in Special Forces, and we just thank him for his service also. But today, I want to read to you, because I entitled this message today, The Right Perspective. The Right Perspective. Because the word perspective means it's what you see or visualize in your mind. Determining what is going on or what's happening in front of you or around you, it's very important that you have the right perspective. But there's a lot of issues that kind of come in with that that we have to deal with, and sometimes we have to fight against. But to have the right perspective is so very important. And that's what Pastor Sam was reading this, and I want to read this from Psalms 138, 7 and 8, as on Wednesday morning he was saying, God just has really put this in my heart. And it says this, David is writing this, and he's saying, though I walk in the midst of trouble. I would just want to stop right there and preach, but I'm going to let you do that. I want to preach right there. Though I walk through the midst of trouble, it's almost like Psalms 23.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yes. So, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord, listen to this, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Pastor Sam, just kind of share out of your heart what God was really showing you there.
Man, this portion of scripture has so much history for me, even personally, because, man, I remember the season where I found this. Actually, it was like I had just gotten saved and started going to school, and, man, I was going through hell, like, anxiety like ain't nobody's business. Actually, you remember this season, Pastor Cab, but I was plowing through the Psalms, and I was like, God, I need your face, I need your voice, I need your word. And coming on this portion of scripture, it brought life. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, this thing of being in the middle of pressure, of anxiety, of stress, of whatever opposition all around, I'm in the middle of it, and David says, you will revive me. This thing of like, man, he had revelation that God's not far, he's in the middle. Like, God's in the middle of my trouble. God's in the middle of my mud. God's in the middle of this thing. He's not distant. He's actually with me. And anytime God is around dead things, there has to be a life. Amen. He's the one who brings resurrection. He's the one who brings, like, anytime there's, you see revival, it's come back down to something has died. And man, I just know that, man, with even with David, him saying, man, I'm in the middle of this trouble. You're going to revive me. You're going to stretch out your hand against the man. You're gonna save me. And then he goes in the next portion of scripture of the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Like, that is a faith statement. That's I'm in the middle of this. I feel every pressure. I feel everything. But I know that you are with me, and you're gonna perfect. That you're gonna make right. Perfect is to make complete, to make whole, to shift, and to make into completeness. And God is really into not just our situations, but actually like perfecting them. Like God's really into us being not just moved by our concerns, but that, man, we're moved by Him. So, like, even when it comes to that portion of Scripture, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. The reason why David could even say that is because it came back to that next statement, your mercy endures forever. This comes back down to his perspective of who God is.
Yes.
Right. This comes back to the revelation that, oh, wow, he's a merciful God.
Right.
When we go through things, when we go through pressures, when we go have concerns, we can either be overwhelmed by the concerns, or we can be overwhelmed by his attributes.
Ooh,
and that's the thing. Like God, like David caught like wind and caught his vision on the one that was greater than his concerns.
Yeah.
Like I said this on Wednesday, something that I've been chewing on for a bit, which is whatever we behold, we become. I heard that years ago. Bill Johnson said that. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And that's scripture. Like, anything that we put in place as our worth in, our focus on, that's the thing that's going to actually end up, like, forming us.
Yeah.
And David wasn't overwhelmed by this because he knew who was with him. Yeah. And so, like, it came back down to his perspective, his focus, where his heart was turned to.
Yeah, and one of the things that you said that I think is so vitally important, and we'll just, I think it's important for us to discuss this because you're swimming in the river right now. I mean, you've got the current, you got the flow, you're flowing, Pastor Sam. And unlike Samson, it didn't affect you to cut your hair.
So,
yeah, you still got that power. You've got that strength, man. So here's what you said Wednesday. You said, if we keep our eyes focused on that which concerns me, then it remains the same. But if I change my focus to Him, speaking of our Heavenly Father, who can and will change my situation, then my focus becomes a key to the finished outcome. So when we shift our focus to complete trust in Him and His Word, He shifts. You remember saying that?
Yeah.
He shifts our situation to be brought into completion, which is that word perfect, which means to bring to completion.
Wow. Yeah. It's... the moment that we get our vision on Him, like, this thing of worship is way, it goes way, it's way beyond just a 30-minute set.
Right.
On a week.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. It is every moment. It's not a song. It's actually what I give in moments.
That's right.
When it comes to my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my mind, will, and emotion being sometimes gets deterred. And when I actually set my affections on Him, even in those moments, that's actually worship.
Yeah.
And so I'm making God bigger than my situation.
Right.
I'm making God, I'm exalting Him. I'm magnifying Him. When my emotions go left or right, when I have the opportunity to not stay in peace, when I start worrying and being anxious about that bill or about that family member or this or that, any type of news that we get, the more I exalt that, the more that will conform me.
I love that word, magnified, that you said. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, whenever we think about a magnifying glass doesn't make what we're looking at bigger. It doesn't make the thing bigger. It is what it is. It is what it's always been. But whenever we magnify it, we increase our perspective of what the thing is. Yeah. And so whenever we talk about magnifying, whenever we talk about worshiping God in our lifestyle, what we're doing is we're magnifying the perspective that we need on who God is in that moment. It's not that we can't make God any bigger. It's not that we can't, it's not that we're, whenever we say, God, we magnify you, it's not like we're making God bigger or stronger than what he already is. Right. It's that in our perspective, yep. we're saying, God, I choose to shift my perspective to the greatness of here, you know, David says, your mercy endures forever. Well, we can be in a situation where we start talking about, we start focusing on his love, or we start focusing on his power, we start focusing on his might, and whatever we need from God in that moment is what we need to magnify.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we look at him.
Yeah, and Pastor David, the word focus, because that's that is so vitally important. And what Pastor Sam says was that what I behold, mm-hmm. you know, I become. And the Bible is very clear to us in what we should be focusing on and fix our eyes on. Mm-hmm. And the word focus means a central point of attention and activity. Yeah. So I'm centering my focus on something, and then it's now causing activity on how I act, the things that I do. Because the children of Israel saw Goliath, centered their focus on him, how big he was,
right.
the reports that had come to them about how many men he had killed and all those, and the next thing they know, they're cowering back until somebody had a different focus.
Right.
And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look, now that does not mean that we are to ignore something,
right.
but it means to do not fix one's eyes upon entirely or direct one's attention to completely. So it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yeah, so much of it comes back to what Pastor Sam was talking about on Wednesday, of that perspective. Are we going to get our eyes focused on the things in the natural that we're trying to control by our willpower and things around us? Or are we actually going to walk by faith, which means we are putting our belief system in what the Word of God says, what the Word says and what His will says, even if we can't see it in front of us right now, we keep walking towards that thing.
Yeah.
And that's, so this whole thing has to do with that perspective. And, you know, one of the things I was talking about on Wednesday was how we pray, and that we're supposed to pray and stand by faith until we see the manifestation of what we're praying for. And so many times when people pray, sometimes prayer becomes, and you've said this before, prayer becomes, we see God like a vending machine. We put in a prayer, pull the knob, and we think exactly what we just prayed for is coming out. And sometimes we do see instantaneous miracles. There's times when we've, you know, seen God heal people. We've seen answers. There's times you're in situations and you pray, and it needs to be right then, and you see those things. But many times what happens is that people pray, and their perspective that we're talking about, they already have in their mindset what that is supposed to look like. When I pray, this is what God is supposed to do. So we're really actually telling God what, in mistake, we're telling God by prayer what he's supposed to do, because that's our mindset, and that's incorrect. That's actually what James says. You know, you're praying amiss. And so what we were talking about that day was also that, so when we pray, part of prayer is getting our eyes back on what God has said and bringing ourselves into alignment with what the Word of God says. In other words, when I'm praying a promise by faith, I'm not telling God how to do this. I'm accepting the fact that he is going to do it.
Come on, yeah.
And I'm going to keep walking by faith until I see it happens. And what that usually means is that God sets up a situation for me now to continue to walk hand in hand, arm in arm with Jesus through my life, through that situation by faith, as he works out all of those things for me to receive the answer as I walk through that situation. Yeah. And more than anything, that's what we see when you mentioned David. You know, David's eyes wasn't on Goliath. David's eyes were on God.
Right.
He knew he had promises from God back in Deuteronomy that that no uncircumcised Philistine is going to come against the army of God and win. And he was asking, he knew God had promises for him. He was already anointed to be king.
Yes.
And so he was looking for his next step, but he didn't realize this is my next step.
Right.
What's crazy about even David's perspective towards Goliath, like everybody saw a giant. He saw a ladder.
He saw,
oh, this is my opportunity to get to launch me into my destiny because I know who God is.
Wow.
Because I know what he said over me.
And he didn't go into that thinking that.
Nope.
He just went in there. He knew what God had promised.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's going to defend, in his mind probably, the honor of God. Mm-hmm. Because this is my God. I know what his promises are. I got to do is walk out there and do that. And the other thing he said is, by the way, what does the man get that does this? Because he knows there's earthly promises in the midst of that too.
What you mean
there's
not riches, pay taxes?
Right, don't have to pay taxes. You get the king's daughter. Well, you know,
and yeah. God, it, you know, and people look at that. I mean, Saul made that statement. I mean, Saul said, "Whoever does this, I'm going to reward you."
Yeah.
Okay. And people today would look and say, "Man, I'd like to have somebody like that in my life." You have
God.
Because God rewards those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
And I would rather have God's rewards than man's rewards because they're so much bigger. You know, when and that is so good. Oh, my gracious, that's so good. But listen to this. I want to share something with you right here. In this passage of scripture that we read, I was meditating over this the other day, and I realized that this was probably written when he was in Gath, in the land of the Philistines.
Wow.
And the reason I say that, he was surrounded by his enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but he says this in Psalms 138, verse 1, it says, "I will praise you with my whole heart." Now listen to this. "Before the gods, I will sing praises to you."
Wow.
Before the gods. Well, David was a one God man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? There was only one God in Israel. Yeah. There were not gods in Israel. There was only one God of Israel. So evidently he had to be probably in Gath.
Wow.
You know, and which was going to lead to Ziklag.
Yeah.
But he was in Gath, and in Gath he was surrounded by gods. And in other words, there was nobody riding around on a chariot said, "Honk your horn if you love Jesus." It was just he and his men. And sometimes it feels like that when you're a Christian, you're surrounded by all of these gods. You're surrounded by all the different beliefs, all the different religions. But you're surrounded literally by the enemy. We're surrounded by COVID-19. We're surrounded by unemployment. We're surrounded by all of these things. And sometimes we get our focus on that in such a way that we literally forget the bigness, the greatness, and the power of God and what his word says. Listen to this. He says, "Before the gods, I will sing praises to you."
Wow.
You know, the key is, can you sing God's praises when nobody around you is praising him or even believes him? You know, can you praise him in the high school? Can you praise him in the college? Can you praise him in the marketplace? Where, you know, that you're surrounded by a lot of times unbelief. And then he says this. He said, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth." Listen to this. "For you have magnified your word." You have magnified your word above all your name. But the key is this. You think about this. Now, wait a minute. You can't magnify anything above God. But when he says, "I have magnified your word above all your name," he was magnifying God because the Bible says in John, the first chapter, the word
Come on.
became flesh and the word was God.
It's Jesus. Yeah. It's Jesus.
It's the word is above Jesus.
Come on.
And so David is saying, I have magnified, and Pastor Cam, you said this, I have magnified your word. In other words, the word is still the same, right. But now when you begin to look at it and you begin to put the right perspective upon it, because listen to this, I wrote this down. What or who that you choose to focus on will determine your response and activity.
Yeah.
You must carefully choose your response. Carefully choose. Yep. The Bible says in James, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Slow to speak. It says you must carefully choose your response because your response will determine what will be released into your situation.
Yep. Right.
Fear releases the works of the kingdom of darkness,
yep.
But faith releases the works of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, faith. Faith and fear both empower something
exactly.
that you believe to happen.
Yeah.
And faith empowers God to act according to his word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fear empowers the enemy to act mm-hmm. according to what he wants to do in this situation. But it's both according to how you're believing.
Yeah, it's crazy how the power of our words is what shapes our life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I forgot who said this. It might have been C.S. Lewis of the most important thing in this life is that you know what God thinks about you. Mm. Like that's the revelation that will shape your life. And the more that we know God's thoughts, the more our life will look like his thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's when circumstances and situations, like we say, we magnify God. It doesn't change who God is.
Mm.
And if we know who we are, those circumstances and situations, as we walk through them, don't change who we are either.
Mm-hmm.
They're just circumstances and situations. They're storms that we just continue to move through.
Yeah.
But as we go through by faith, that's one of the ways God empowers our faith and grows our faith.
Yeah.
Because the tougher and harder things we have to walk through, the stronger our faith gets.
Notice that it's like, though I walk through. It's like God doesn't like just, he could, obviously, he could just straight up change something
right.
in them.
And he does.
And he does. And he could make things right there. But I'm starting to really see that God actually wants us to actually walk through things because it strengthens
yes.
our faith or our conviction to believe who he is in these circumstances. When I feel sorrow, when I'm in a season of just testing or just, man, I feel pain or whatever I'm processing, God is wanting me to actually like face that pain.
Right. Yeah.
He actually wants us to like walk through that
yeah.
so that we can have a stronger belief in him than before we were in the thing.
Yeah that's where I was actually thinking about this on the way over here today, where I was thinking in my mind, whenever we're going through something, we can either have one miracle or we can have two. That's what I started thinking, because we can either, you know, there's sometimes that we're praying and we just want God to get us out of the situation. But what's carried me through the majority of the things that I've been through is the realization that God does want to act on my behalf, but God also wants to do something on the inside of me.
Yeah.
So I'm going through this so that God can do something in me, you know, and it's that's where I was thinking of this quote that's been impacting me for about a year and a half now. And I mean, it's a quote. Sometimes in Christianity, I think we think we're so cool, but we're really just saying what the Bible says a different way. And so the quote is, God wastes nothing. God wastes nothing. Which is based off of Romans 8, where it says God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And whenever it says all things there, it means all things. And so we can either pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and hope God does a miracle, and he probably will. Or we can pray and pray and pray and pray, get our miracle, but also ask God to do a work on the inside of us. So we're talking about the more we behold him, the more that we become like him. So as we're going through a circumstance and we begin to look at the word and we begin to declare the word and we begin to declare who God is, then we're actually, since we're created in his image, we're declaring things that God wants to work on the inside of us as well. What areas where God wants us to look more like him as well. So if we're talking about his mercy enduring forever, well, maybe God wants us to get to the point where we can endure for forever.
Yeah.
Or we talk about that God's loving kindness is what draws people to repentance. Or, well, maybe God wants us to have a little bit more loving kindness as well. God wants to do a miracle. God wants to bring you through, but God also really desires to do something on the inside of you. That's where, how many times in the Bible do we find the words suffering and glory paired together?
You can't have one without the other.
You can't have one without the other.
To the point where Paul said that man, he counts these present sufferings, doesn't even count them, compared to the glory that is to be revealed.
Yeah,
and that's one of the mistakes we've made in Westernized Christianity, is that a lot of people see suffering as something that isn't from God. Mm-hmm. When there's very godly suffering, we see it. Look at the life of Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to walk through those things. When I think of what Pastor Cameron was saying, you know, I go back to perspective, and I say, okay, what about the people that before they started walking through that, they decided this isn't the way it's supposed to look, and so they turn and walk the other way.
Right.
You know, and they miss exactly what God has for them. And some of you know, and some of the people watching know from the school of ministry that one of my biggest pet peeves is how we're so quick to say, remove this mountain, right? When there's only two times in the New Testament that talks about removing mountains. All the other times in the entire Bible, a mountain is a place you go to meet with God.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there could be many times that we look at the mountain and we go, oh, be thou removed. What actually God is saying, come up higher. Don't be afraid of the thunder.
Sheesh.
Don't be afraid of the lightning. Don't be afraid of the encounter that I have with you if you'll just come up here with me. That's where we have to be discerning to say, is this something that God is drawing me to, or is this something I need to speak to and be removed?
Right. And amen. And that, Pastor David, I think that is a great segue into the... on Wednesday, when you made a statement about how there are times that we are waiting, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But there is usually a time lapse.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And only God knows that time lapse, because like Pastor Sam said in Psalms 138, he will perfect, he will bring to a completion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we don't know when that completion is going to take place. But the key is, don't get into hopelessness, thinking that, well, I must have missed God, I must have done something wrong. You know, it's not what you're doing wrong that attracts the attack. It's what you're doing right. And yet at the same time, in what all of you were saying just a while ago, in walking things out for a period of time, that's where we are developing so many things on the inside of our life that the Holy Spirit is doing. So one of the points that you brought up is, a lot of times things are happening behind the scenes that we can't see. And like the two men on the road to Emmaus, they were in chaos, confusion, hopelessness.
We were talking about that whole perspective thing and how, you know, we pray. And I was referring to Mark, the 11th chapter, and it says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever speaks in faith, but does not doubt in his heart, but believes by faith that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And we know that's according to the word and to the will of God. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. The battle then is in the waiting time. Like we said, sometimes things happen instantaneously, but most times, you know, God's a personal God. God wants us to continue to walk in relationship, you know, to him. So we have to remember that when we pray, something's going to change. And many times the situation that we see is not the situation we expect. And so we pray and we run into somebody and say, well, I wonder why I ran into that person, you know, or this begins to happen. And, well, you know, why did this happen? But it doesn't look like what you prayed about. And so what I was referring to was on resurrection morning, when you think about what was occurring behind the scenes, Jesus had arisen from the dead, the stone had been rolled away, the greatest miracle in all of history had just happened. Right. And where were the disciples? The disciples were in their homes, behind locked doors in fear,
sheltering
and sheltering in place. They were hopeless because what they thought, their perspective of what Jesus of Nazareth was there to do, was shattered. He was dead. How was he going to be the king, right? And even at the same time, there was two disciples, which actually were probably close relatives of Jesus, walking away from the situation on the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem, you know, wondering why all of this had happened. Their whole world had just been shattered. Everything had fallen apart. Everything that they had been, you know, praying and believing for, they thought it was over. When behind the scenes, and not actually behind the scenes at this point, Jesus had already arisen from the dead. But they didn't have the realization that the breakthrough had already happened. Wow. And this is where we're at many times. You know, God is working behind the scenes to perfect, okay, and to complete you and bring those things in that situation together to not only give you what you ask for, but I believe it's above and beyond what we even pray or imagine. Yeah. Isaiah 55 says that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And Ephesians 3:20 talks about, you know, he can do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or, you know, or think. And so I believe that he's saying, okay, you prayed for this. I'm going to give you that. But I'm going to involve as many people as I can in the midst of answering your prayer and to bring that thing to pass, because we as believers are the body of Christ. You know, Paul says that we are the body. We are Jesus as he was resurrected. He was looking to bring together his body on the earth. And so we are all that body. And so when I'm praying and believing God for something, as a part of that body, God may be aligning you, especially people you're in relationship with, people you're in community with, people that you're walking, you know, out your spiritual journey with. He may be arranging you to help bring the answer to my prayer to come to pass.
Ooh, when you just said that, something just went off on me. And I honestly have not. The statement I'm getting ready to make, that while you were talking, God opened my eyes to something, like the guys on the road of Emmaus. He opened their eyes.
Your heart is burning within you.
Yes, yes. So Jesus made this statement. While he was alive, before he was resurrected, while he was on the earth, he made this statement. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear it first. Mm-hmm. I only do what the Father tells me to do. Mm-hmm. But he said, I only do or go where the Father tells me to go. And I only do what the Father, I hear what the Father says.
Right.
Why did Jesus pick those two guys on the road to Emmaus?
Yeah.
God heard that conversation, and exactly what you're saying, listen to this, the Heavenly Father sent the word to them.
Yeah.
Sent the word to them.
Yeah.
And it was in a package they were not expecting, you know, and so he sent the word. So just like you said, when we're perplexed about things, and it seems like that we're confused and stuff, all of a sudden, somebody will turn on the TV, somebody will pull up on live streaming, somebody will come to church. God will send somebody. He cares about us so much.
Yes.
He knows what's bothering us.
Yes.
He knows the questions we have.
Yes.
He will send someone with the word.
Yes.
That's the reason that we're to be in season and out of season.
Yeah.
We're to be ready and to hold forth the word of life. What does the Bible say? Bible says in Philippians, the second chapter, we are to be shining lights in a crooked and perverse world, holding forth the word of God.
So he may send someone into my situation around me that I've been praying for, but he also may send me into somebody's situation.
Exactly right.
About what they've been praying for. And I can't be so, try to figure out all of the plans and purposes of God. I have to be what Paul says. I have to align myself with the mind of Christ. And know that I'm in the middle of this situation. Why did I run into this person? Well, I've been praying about something, so God must be using me in the middle of this situation to bring a word to this person or to help this person.
Yeah.
You know, but there's that time lag that we were talking about that we have to remember. And this is when it really became real to me when we began to have children, was that, you know, in Christmas time, you spend a period of time, or even with your family, you spend a period of time planning out those gifts that you're going to give.
Right.
And your kids can be thinking, I'm not getting nothing. You know, they're not giving me any hints or nothing. But behind the scenes, you're like, oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait till they see not what I get, what they get, right, what I'm doing. Well, God is behind the scenes setting up this great answer to your prayer or even something beyond what you're expecting. And if your perspective is it doesn't look like I thought it was going to look like, you'll walk away and you'll turn away and go the other way and miss what God has for you.
That's where we have to trust that God not only knows what we need, but he knows when we need it.
Exactly.
Thinking practically about all of this stuff and how I've been able to engage in this in my own life has been last year, actually on Benji's, yesterday or 2 days ago was Benji's second birthday, but on his first birthday last year, I was just praying and I was meditating on something that a missionary, a really amazing missionary, Jack Harris, that we support here at the church, he made a statement to me a couple of years ago before I was going on the mission field. He said, if you follow God, one day you'll look down and you'll find that your feet are still right beneath you. And he said that to me, and I was mulling that over last year. I knew that I was about a year away from coming back to Fayetteville. And I was praying, and God showed me a vision where I saw my life as a timeline. And he showed, it was like I looked back in a straight line, and I was able to see all of the moments where I said yes to the things that didn't make sense or to the things that were kind of off, like just getting out of Bible school and then going back to be a student in an organization on how to become a missionary, and then having been in ministry for a certain amount of time and then kind of having to like take a step back, and then looking at moments where I trusted God, even though it was confusing because Michaela and I were having our second miscarriage at the time. I saw all of these moments, and just like what you're talking about, and I saw, it was almost like on maps whenever you're looking at your GPS, I just saw every turn was perfect, even though it made no sense to me. Thinking about, and as I was looking at that, I was thinking about all of the lives that my life has collided with along the way. Yeah. Wow. And listening to the stories of different people who, I can't even tell you how many people have now said to Michaela and I was about to give up on ministry. Some people saying, I was about to kill myself. All of these different things. And they would tell me things that I said to them that I had no remembrance saying to them. Or I would do something in their lives that God was telling me to do in their lives. And it was these moments of my life colliding with other people's lives because I said yes when it didn't make sense. And because I didn't give up during the time lag, during the moments where I was like, okay, can this move forward a little bit quicker? And they were always, every single thing that happened in my life, it was exactly what I needed when I needed it. Or actually what someone else needed and when they needed it too. And that's why we have to trust God. That's why we have to realize what it says there, where it says, God will revive us in the midst of our troubles, or though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will continue to bring life to me, because what feels like death to us is always life
in
God.
Which says also, he said, when I walk in the midst of trouble. Well, we don't know. He could have walked into trouble.
Yeah, we don't know how.
Could have. Something could have happened by surprise.
Yeah.
Something could have come up, and bam, it's there.
Yeah.
And now I have a response. I have an activity.
Yeah.
What am I going to do here?
Yeah.
Either I'm going to get my emotions back in order. I'm going to focus on God and focus on his word, because if David is saying here, wait a minute, I can't die right now because I've been anointed by God to be king. I have a destiny. And that's the reason that at times when we get attacked, we got to realize I've got a destiny. That's the reason
that
the Bible says, I will live and not die. I'm making that response. I'm making it because it is not my time yet. You know?
What I feel there is, let God, so if we're focused on God, let God take care of what's in the peripheral.
Yeah.
Let God take care of the, I think sometimes people get in these modes and they want to figure out what the devil's doing, and they want to do defense against the devil, right? Yeah. And we are supposed to watch. We are supposed to be vigilant. But whenever we're focused on God, he takes care of what's in the peripheral. He takes care of what the devil wants to do inside of our lives. So we, instead of being focused on, okay, how can I protect myself from whatever the devil wants to do in my life, let's be focused on, I will live and not die. That I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto my God, that he loves
me. So you're saying, say that again, focus on what God's doing and not the peripheral. Right.
Yeah.
What does that remind us of? I prepare a table.
You better go there.
Come on.
If you see the enemy in front of you, better look down, because there's a table set.
Come on, you better be careful. Your hair might grow back. He says, I prepare a table for you in the peripheral. Yep. I prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies.
Come on.
I am not to concentrate on the presence of my enemies. I'm to concentrate on his presence within me.
Come on.
And isn't that what our continual prayer is, walking continually with him in that mentality of aligning ourselves with his thoughts, his mindsets, the things that he has, his perspective. And if something comes up, then we deal with it. Otherwise, we keep walking with his perspective and his mindset for what he has for us.
Or we will walk with the world's mindset, or the culture's mindset around us. That's the reason God said, listen, if you're going to endure to the end, you better renew your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
You better not be conformed. Yeah. You better be transformed. Exactly. Because if you don't be transformed, then you might translate out. But you've got to transform, and you've got to be able to think just like you said. Yeah, because his word is his thoughts.
Yes.
Is his mind. Is his
say-so. Yeah.
So
Stop looking for that escape all the time.
All right, I think this is part one. I think we're going to have to continue. I think we're going to have to continue this. But every person, all of you that are watching us, you need to listen to this over and over again, because of where we're at right now in the middle of all of this. Our response is going to be based upon our perspective. Your response is also going to be based on who's got your ear. So if the news media and everybody else that is pessimistic and negative has got your ear, guess who you're going to talk like? Guess who you're going to act like? Because everything that I'm hearing is fear-based instead of faith-based. And so I have to listen. Yes, I listen to hear what's going on. I listen to the data, hear the numbers and things like that, because it gives me a perspective on how I want to pray, the way that I want to use the word of God. But at the same time, I'm not going to get upset that if I go to the grocery store and somebody has on a mask and somebody doesn't have on a mask, I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to punch them out. I'm not going to go over and talk to them. I'm going to believe God, that God is going to protect me. God's going to, where I'm wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. But the fact is we are God's children, praise God. We are the body of Christ. And the last thing we need to do is allow this thing or what somebody is telling us to do to divide us. We don't want to do that. We've got to stay united. Because if the devil can divide us over who wears a mask and who doesn't wear a mask, I mean, my gracious folks, I mean, look how shallow is our theology. Yeah. How shallow is the word on the inside of us. We as the church have got to stay together.
Yes.
I'll never forget what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, the conscience of the nation is the church.
Wow. Yeah.
The conscience of the nation is the church. And I would like to add to that, the reaction of the church, the reaction of the church will affect the conscience of the people. And so you remember that statement that was made in communism? Remember that statement that was made? This: whoever controls the fear controls the people. Okay? You don't want fear controlling you. You want faith controlling you.
Yes.
And because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that's so vitally important. Listen, today, and I want to say to all the believers that are watching us right now, would you just start praying? Because there are people are watching us right now that are not saved, that are living by fear. They're empty on the inside. They're not fulfilled in their lives. And it's so vitally important in this day and time, because I've had people one after another ask me this. When I go out to pick up something from a restaurant or something, I've had people constantly ask me. They know I'm a pastor. They say, Pastor, is this in the Bible? Yes, it is. All of it's in the Bible. But there's more than just the prophecies of what's coming in the earth and the things that are happening on the earth. There's much more to that. What's more important is your eternal life. Where are you going to spend eternity?
That's right.
But it's not just a mindset of heaven afterwards, okay? It is that God himself has ordained that he comes to live on the inside of you.
Yes.
That he pulls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm. And how does he do that? He does that by his grace, his mercy, his love.
Right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Thank you, Jesus.
No religion has a sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. And the only person that could sacrifice himself for the sin of the whole world was God. And Jesus was God. Came to this earth. He died for our sin, so that you could be free from the bondage of sin, so that you could have a life of purpose and meaning. And the Bible says if we repent of our sins and confess Jesus as Lord of our life, the Bible says God will save us.
Right.
He will forgive all of our sins. And the moment he does that, he comes by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live on the inside of us.
Yeah.
You talk about a new perspective. The Bible says you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want you to pray this with me. To receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. Or you say, Pastor, I've backslidden. I don't think God can save me. There was a young girl the other day on YouTube that we were texting to, and Pastor Chris was, and several other people. She didn't think God could forgive her. She thought that she had done so many bad things that she had lost her soul, that God had left her. Listen, no. God said, I will not leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
He will not leave you. He's not like a hitchhiker that when you get stuck in the mud, he gets out and goes and hitches a ride with somebody else.
Nope.
No, he doesn't do that. He stays with, he's there. It's us walking away from him. He doesn't walk away from us.
That's right.
And that's the reason we repent of our sins. So if you've gotten into a backslidden position, no matter how far you've backslidden, today you're going to come back. Pray this with me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. Today, I believe in my heart, with my whole heart, that Jesus Christ died for me and you raised him from the dead. And Jesus Christ is alive and he is the Lord of all. I repent of all my sin and I ask your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. And today, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Praise God. My friend, I say welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Hey, if you're on a computer, punch that little button right there that I raised my hand, I got saved. Text to 97,000, I got saved. Let us know you received Jesus or you rededicated your life today. It's so vitally important. And by the way, don't forget, on Wednesday nights, again, we are teaching, we are discipling. We're believing God that we're going to get back to our discipleship classes so we can teach you the Word of God. But if you let us know you got saved, we've got some material that we want to send to you, okay, to get in your hands to help you now to walk and live this life that God has called us to walk. Again, I want to thank each and every person All of you, many of you that are viewing us all over the world, thank you that you're giving. Thank you, Covenant Love, that you are faithful to your tithes and your offerings. I was thinking about this. I read this scripture this morning, and just it reminds me, Covenant Love, of you and so many of you that are viewing us, that are giving and helping us and sowing seed, your tithes and your offerings, so that we can continue to do what we're doing. And then when we open, we're going to use wisdom in how we do that, and making sure that everybody is safe. But yet, you don't know what to expect until you open. But we're going to open June the 7th. But listen to this. This is when people were giving during a time in Israel's history. It said, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. They had given offerings willingly. Because, listen to this, with a loyal heart, they offered or gave offerings willingly to the Lord. I want to thank you, Covenant Love, because you have proved that you have a loyal heart. You're continuing to give. You're continuing to worship God. You're continuing to take the Word of God, and you're continuing to give. And it says, and then King David also rejoiced greatly. Well, I'm telling you, Pastor Dad, Pastor Al, however you want to call me, you know, I'm just saying this. I'm rejoicing greatly. We are our staff is rejoicing. We are rejoicing greatly that you are faithful to your giving. So don't forget, you can give on our website. There's also a mailing address if you want to mail something in. Thank you for those of you who have been mailing in. Those of you that have lost your job, believe Pastor John and our prayer ministry right here, we are praying every single day for you to have your need met and that God is going to take care of you, but you're going to get your job back. You're going to get back into that job, and we're believing God for that. So we want you to know that we are praying over you on a daily basis, not only Monday through Thursday from nine to ten Eastern Standard Time when we have our prayer and pray, but we're praying on a daily basis. They last night were on Zoom. Our folks here in our congregation, our intercessors were praying as Pastor John was leading them. So we're excited about what is happening right now, what's going on concerning the reopening. But yet at the same time, now listen, folks, very important. And we're going to open on June the 7th. And the survey we sent, very important. Fill that out. Get it back to us. It really helps us, okay? But here's the main point, okay? Don't put people down. Don't put people under condemnation. You know, let's walk in love. If somebody wants to do this elbow pump or somebody wants to say, it's okay. It's fine. It's you don't look down on them. Where's your faith? You know, come on, folks. If you say something like that, here's my question to you. Where's your love? Where's your grace? Where's your love? Come on, folks. Let's walk in love. Let's honor and respect one another. Yes. Okay? And the Bible tells us to do that. Let's honor and respect one another as we do that. And we're not looking down on anybody. There is no condemnation That's to right. those that are in Christ Jesus. And those of you who want to stay home and continue to watch online until you feel safe, that's fine. And nobody is condemning you. Nobody's looking down on you. Nobody's saying, where's your faith? Okay, listen, that's common sense. You do what's in your heart, okay? Yeah. And we're still the body, no matter if we're in a building or not. We're still the body of Christ. And our methods may have changed, but our mission remains the same. To see people saved, delivered, and set free by the power of God. And right now, we come into agreement. Father, in Jesus' name, those that are sick and afflicted right now that are watching us, we just thank you for healing them, making them completely and totally whole in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray right now. Stretch forth your hand, Lord Jesus. Touch them right where they are. We just speak healing. We release healing. We say be healed and be made whole. We loose you from all disease, sickness, and infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed and be made whole in the name of Jesus. And we thank God for it. Amen. Now, that's when you just start praising God and worshiping. You know, when we were talking, So when we were talking, I thought to myself, when Pastor David and Pastor Sam and Pastor Cameron were discussing about, sometimes we don't have the instantaneous miracle, but you know, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a process. That's a recovery. We don't know how long that recovery is going to take place, but at the same time, who's being affected by my testimony in the middle of my trouble?
Wow.
That's the key. I think right now of Nunnie Reese and how that lady has been through so much in the hospitals and stuff. But every time I see her on Facebook, there's a smile.
Yeah.
She's got something incredible to say. And the lives that she has affected up in Chapel Hill and other places is amazing. The people that her life has touched. So she's not, while she is walking out this healing in her life and receiving this, she is touching the lives of so many people. And what I want to ask you is this. As you're walking out in the midst of your trouble, at times when we're weary, God will revive us. But whose life are you touching for the better? Who are you helping even in the midst of your pain and your trouble? And that's how I'm going to tell you right now, not only with the word of God, but I'm telling you, if I was going through something and God and I ended up in heaven, what was going to be my legacy? People would be saying this, while he was there, he touched my life. He always had a good word. Even when he was pain, he had a good word. Even when he had a good word. So we've got to remember, okay, we're here to be a blessing to people. And in turn, we get blessed.
Right.
Amen? All right. We love you very much. And, man, this has been great. Pastor Sam, thank you. You should keep your hair short because the anointing was really flowing. Pastor Cam, Pastor David, thank y'all so much. Love you guys so much. June the 7th, 8:30 and 11. June the 7th, 8:30 and 11. We're coming back, okay? But I want you to be patient and walk in love. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day.